This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 6th, episode 2306, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Oh, and away we go.
And coming up on today's show, Roger McFarland answers all the questions that you really did want to ask about CBD oil for horses. And Stanford from Black Reins Magazine is back, and he's going to introduce us to Dr. Amy Casey, who has some really interesting connections to the Kentucky Derby, the 1901 and 1902 versions. So stay tuned for the race, folks.
And we just got good news. What, about an hour ago, the memo came out that the Senate unbelievably has passed the Preventing Animal Cruelty and Torture Act, the PACT Act, that was passed by the House a couple of weeks ago. And we never thought the Senate would actually bring it even to a vote, but here it is. And, you know, it's interesting. We talked to the guy who is really in charge of trying to get this going, and we talked to him last week. Off the air, and he said, I don't think this is going to happen for a long time. And here we are. So now it goes to the president for a final vote. And of course, this was the one that it deals with soaring and a bunch of other things. And I'm in total shock this morning. I don't know about you.
So I'm curious to know, like, the anti-cruelty law, like, does that take into effect race wars? How big is that? Or is it just kind of soaring and that kind of thing?
It is that kind of thing. This was really meant at the Tennessee Walker situation. And it's going to outlaw a bunch of the acid they use and all of that stuff and the shoes and all of that kind of thing. So Debbie has actually done quite a bit of this on her show over in Horsemanship Radio. And we'll get, once the president signs this, then we'll definitely get somebody on to say, okay, now what happens?
And they also, if the president is like, you know what? I think it's okay.
This was
unanimous, right?
It was unanimous. So unless he just wants to piss everybody else off too. I don't know. I think
those few that still like him will leave him shortly.
I don't know why he would do this, but you know, who knows? But at least we're closer. You know, this has been sitting around for 6 years in Congress. It has been 6 years they've been working on this. And I honestly didn't think, because of Mitch McConnell being in Kentucky and the head of the Senate, and, you know, he has been against this because he's kind of got the whole Tennessee Walker people to deal with in his state, and the Tennessee people didn't want it either. But I think it just came to the point where, you know, they had to deal with it.
We applaud Senators Toomey and Blumenthal. Fantastic work, those two senators. Good job.
Yeah, they pushed it through. And you know, this was bipartisan. You know, Toomey's a Republican and Blumenthal's a Democrat. So this is all good news. It's really good news. And we just got word, and I confirmed it an hour ago.
So, yay!
That was good news to start our Wednesday morning. And we're going to do some Daily Whinnies. Good news for three of our auditors, too. It's their birthday. Serenity Lemons, Margaret Klenner, and Laura Gladden. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a wonderful day.
It's appropriate that it's kind of a little girly whinny, because I have a little girly horse in training here, Glenn. Did you see the video I posted yesterday?
I did not see any videos yesterday.
go to my Facebook page and you will see a video of a mare. Her name is Annie, are you okay? All that. Yes, you're going to have that in your head. Annie, are you okay? You okay? You okay? So anyway, she's a four-year-old thoroughbred mare. She's like 17 hands. And she was sent to me for training. I've been getting some of the, like, just like Kona, I've been getting the horses from Horse and Hound Rescue Foundation that maybe a little too much for their volunteers. And she's really, really big. So I could see where she'd potentially be intimidating. Oh my God, this is like the nicest mare ever. I want to keep her. Like,
for Jamie to say that about a mare is a miracle in the first place.
Oh, even Chad was like, if we had all of these horses as opposed to, like, he's like, I would much rather have 10 of Annie's than one Zeus.
So he's willing to trade. You're going to send Zeus to the rescue and you're going to keep this one?
No, but he would. He would in a second. She is the most relaxed mare. Relaxed four-year-old. I usually get on them in the round pen and I ride them there 2 or 3 days. I got her in the round pen and I think it was like 2 minutes and I was like, open the gate. And I came out and trotted her in the big arena. I mean, it was just amazing. And
why
so
was
she
too
gets,
much for them? What was the...
I think what happened is the woman in charge of the rescue, you know, the people that volunteer are horse people, but they're not maybe dealing with ginormous baby racehorse people.
Right, right.
And you kind of have to go a little slow with her. Otherwise, she's a mare. And I'm just starting to understand what people like about her. Like, this morning, I went to move her from one stall to another, and I went to throw a rope over her neck, and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, hello. And I petted her neck. I put the rope over, and she walked right out. It's like, oh, it's like a mare. You have to, like, romance it. You have to just, you have to, hello, good morning, how are you? Are you ready to go? Okay, let's go. As a mare, we're the geldings. I'm like, hey, get out here and go to your stall. And they're like, okay. So it's pretty cool, pretty fun, and she is just very, very sweet. I can't imagine she is huge. I can't imagine she's gonna go, like, not be adopted from my house in a week. And she's just so lovely. So I really
cost to ship a horse.
Yeah, Jennifer's
Oklahoma. I think Sally goes to Oklahoma.
That'd be $2,000.
Can you believe it? That this horse is this delightful at her first ride off the track. I mean, and she's had months off. She hasn't been sat on. She hasn't raced in 6 months. She has literally sat still in a pasture.
Huh.
It's amazing.
She's
that good.
Big girl.
Or, wait a second. I'm that good. It could be that.
Yeah, go with that when you hand her back.
I'm gonna go with that. Yeah. Oh my God, you guys.
So you get paid anyway. It's just good.
Well, it's funny. Lucas's karate instructor is a friend of mine on Facebook, and he finds this whole horse thing super fascinating. And he's like, how come you didn't get bucked off? Don't they usually, first time you ride a horse, buck you off? And I didn't feel like explaining, she's been ridden on a racehorse, but blah, 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 blah. I didn't feel like explaining all that. And I go, you know what, buddy? If I do my job right, they don't buck me off. And he's like, got it. Okay, gotcha. You're good then.
Your credibility just went up.
The
black
weirdest
belt
thing.
Now thinks you're pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. It's the weirdest thing ever to have, like, some karate master sit down and, like, talk horse. He was in, like, movies with Chuck Norris. And he's, like, asking me about... Okay, so the first time you ride a horse, does it bug you up? It's very strange.
Well,
anyway.
We get to other news, I had to tell you about my night last night. So I had an interesting experience. My oldest friend, John the Geek, we've known him for probably 25 years.
Are you guys brothers?
Well, we got named the Geek at the same time. It was Glenn the Geek and John the Geek, and we're just buddies, and he's a super geek, though. He's like every Microsoft certification there is. He's a super geek. Really smart guy. And he came down for the biggest Microsoft conference, the 35,000 Microsoft people in Orlando right now. It is so big that they actually rent out Universal Studios both parks on Thursday night. Microsoft closes them down and rents them both out. And you can go free and eat anything you want, drink anything you want. That's how much money Microsoft spends.
Oh my
gosh. Conference. Yeah. He said when he went the last time, Microsoft at Universal, he said when you buy something, they keep a running total on the cash registers. And he said the one cash register he went up to was at $10,000. It was one of the bars. And he said, that's just one of the cash registers around both parks. And he said, they
you get like merchandise too?
I said, you just do whatever you want. He said, Microsoft just pays the bill. So last night he said, well, we haven't gotten together in probably 6 years. He said, let's go to Animal Kingdom. They're having an after hours event at Disney World. And I like Animal Kingdom. I've never really been there after hours. And what that means is you pay a full price ticket to get in at 7 o'clock, and they close the park and kick all the daytime people out. And the nighttime people come in, and we paid almost $100 each. And you get in the park from 7 till midnight. Yes, I was up till midnight. And yes, that's why I'm tired this morning. So you get in from 7 to midnight. Well, there was nobody there. There was 200 of us in the park, if that many. It was literally empty. Now, not all the rides are open, and we didn't see one animal at Animal Kingdom because they put them all to bed at night. So we literally did not see
it. So what the hell did you do?
We rode the rides that were open, and then they had free food and all the free Mickey bars you want, the ice cream bars, which I did maybe have one or two of those. And they have certain food places are open, and you can get free food, and you go on the rides. So we're there, and it was just... It was almost eerie because Animal Kingdom is kind of a dark park at night anyway. They don't have a ton of lights. And so you're there, and literally in some of the rides, we walked all the way through onto the ride. We were the only ones on it. So it was kind of eerie that way, but also kind of fun because they let us stay on. We did the roller coaster, which is one of my favorites in Animal Kingdom, the Everest roller coaster. We literally stayed on it and rode it like 4 times. Just kept going around.
So you could have chosen any one of the parks to do this in?
No, they only do it at certain parks at night. That's why we ended up in Animal Kingdom. Now, I imagine if you went to Magic Kingdom at the nighttime ticket, it wouldn't be that empty. It's just nobody wanted to go to Animal Kingdom. So, and we did the Pandora stuff. Remember when we got back from Pandora the one time Jennifer and I said we waited in line 4 hours to get on one ride? Well, we walked right on that ride. And let me tell you, it's much more enjoyable when you walk on than wait 4 hours. We were in some of the pre-ride stuff that Disney does, and I said to John, I don't remember any of this. I think Jennifer and I were so pissed by the time we got to this point, I blocked all memory of it. And we actually rode that one 2 or 3 times. But I have to tell you, it was real funny. So 60 years they've been doing parks. And, you know, it's the biggest amusement park company in the world, right? It's Disney. So we go to watch their nighttime spectacular show on the lake at Animal Kingdom. And I've heard horrible reviews for this. And they have these floating boats and these waterfalls and these laser shows. And it's very kind of – it's very poorly done Disney. And it was terrible. And we get about 10 minutes in, and everything, all the boats out there, they're all lit up, and there's waterfalls and all the laser. Everything goes dark like somebody pulled the plug. It just went poof. And everybody's looking around, and then the announcement comes on. We've had technical difficulties. And apparently they have these a lot for this particular show. And then they come around and say, we have to reset. We have to reboot, like rebooting your computer. We have to reboot. And they started at the beginning. I could have shot myself. I said to John, finally, we had to watch the whole boring 10 minutes at the beginning. And John really wanted to see the show. And we got past the point we were at before, and it didn't shut down again. We were all betting it would. And we finally left. It was that boring. It was one of those boring things I've ever seen Disney do. What?
I know what the problem was. It was late at night. They could not find a computer geek to fix it. That was the problem.
The whole thing. It's like somebody pulled the plug and the whole thing, all the lights went off. It was so... All the computer geeks were at Microsoft, I guess. I don't
know. Sorry, folks. Wally World is closed.
But it was an interesting experience being there pretty much by ourselves until midnight and riding all the rides many times with no lines. That was fun. And it was fun catching up. But there was an experience. So we went to Animal Kingdom and did not see an animal last night.
This is like a non-story story. Like, we went there, but nothing happened.
That's right. We rode rides. It was us and 10 of our friends, and I don't know how they afforded to keep the park open. But, yeah. And it's the only time I've ever gotten anything, quote-unquote, for free from Disney, like water and food and ice cream, because you never get anything for free from Disney. Now, we paid $100 for that ice cream, but...
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I have a tip of the day, and Jen, you do Horse Tip Daily, so maybe you could take this over to Horse Tip Daily, right? So just gonna throw this out there. This morning, I went out to get the horses in, and I get them all of my horses all come running up. They see me. They see me a giant, you know, scoop of grain is what they see when they see me. So they all come running up. But I had put a new round bale out in the pasture, and I bought one of those cool nets you wrap around it, like a slow feeder hay net, because Zara and Sam, they just eat the whole climb on it, eat the whole thing.
How easy is it to put that on, by the way?
I don't think I followed instructions correctly. I'm going to try it. When we do it again, I'll give you a more honest. I kind of just went for it, and I was like, there probably was instructions I should have read. But right now, it's like looking good. The bale's kind of falling apart, filled it all out. It's fine. Well, I got all the horses are in, and Drax is just standing out there at the hay bale, just standing there. Like, dude, come in. I'm feeding. He's just, nope, he's going to stay by the hay bale. I start shaking buckets, and I see him, like, look at me and, like, turns around, like, I'm going to stay here. Shaking grain. I'm holding alfalfa. I'm like, look, it's your favorite food. Come and get it. Nope, he's just standing there. I'm like, I feel like I need to go get him because I got to go in and do the show. You need to come in. And I just got that feeling that there might be something wrong. Why is he not coming in? So I walk all the way out there and down the hill to the and oh my God, his front shoes are stuck in the hay net. He has like apparently walked.
Never used hay nets like that with horses with shoes.
I didn't know. He and Zeus are the only horses on my property that have shoes. I did not know that you could not let a horse with shoes near the hay net. And the blessed little dude just stood there like, she'll come get me. She'll come get me eventually. I mean, he was perfect. I got some. I was like, oh my God, stay here. Like he's going to go anywhere. I ran in my pajamas, trying to keep my pants up. I got my muck boots on, you know, I'm looking good. Running across the field, grab some scissors out of the barn, run all the way back down to where the hay net is. And I pick up each foot individually and cut it loose. I cut the first one loose and he just puts down like, okay, get the other one. And so I walk around and cut the other one loose. He's like, okay, so can I go? And I was like, go to the barn. And he trots right into the barn and starts eating his breakfast. So is that a thing? Did you know? Does everybody talk about like, let horses with shoes around these?
That's a thing.
He wears bell boots and everything. Okay, well, I didn't know. Maybe I should have read the instructions.
No shoes. That was in the instructions. Yeah, that was.
There is no way. Why would nobody have said to me, hey, people recommended this to me. Why did all you people that recommended that I get a slow feed hay net, this one particular kind, why did nobody say, hey, you can't have horses with shoes around it? So anyway,
they thought you'd read the correct.
You can pretend you know everything, Jennifer, but you've made that mistake too. I'm sure you have. So anyway, tip of the day. Shoes.
We've had round bales on occasions through the years, not much, but we've never used one of the big net things. And a lot of people get those metal ones, you know, the big metal ones, but that's not a slow feeder. That's just keeps it
that
needy.
Just kinda
keeps it tidy. Yeah. And so they don't sleep in it.
Well, I just did the slow feeder hayna because they just stood there and demolished it. They ate it probably three times as fast as they should have. So I thought, let me try this and see. And we actually baled these round bales ourselves. Okay. I mean, I didn't mow it, but these are the round bales that we made.
You did a round baler yourself? I'm impressed.
These are the bales we made in our own pasture. I spent pretty much the entire summer laying in the grass, stroking it, telling it how much I loved it and how great it is.
And please they grow it in 2 days.
Yeah. And so, this is our hay. I know exactly where it came from. And I never fed round bales till I moved here, but it's very common. And, you know, it's just something that people do here. And let me tell you, it's freaking awesome. It's awesome. There's just food out there all the time. You don't have to go run and throw hay and spread it around the field and pull it apart. It's just, it's there. And
Scooter didn't have, you know, Scooter's one of those that will eat till he dies. So.
But that's why I put this. Zara is the same way. She just, I mean, Zara and baby Stanley, they just got hay bellies all of a sudden. And so I was like, well, we're going to do something. Mm. And you know what? As funny as I thought I'd considered it putting in the field with Zeus. And Chad looked at me and he was like, are you serious? Like, yeah, you're probably right. He would destroy that thing in like 2 seconds, and he has shoes on. So, yeah, it would have been a mess. And he probably would not have been as calm as
Drax. He would not
have
stood there.
No.
He would not know. There would have been a train wreck.
He just would have been like, yeah. How much damage can I do at this time? You know, like, what can I do to hurt everything? But yeah, I just couldn't believe my little 4-year-old Drax just stood there calmly going, somebody will come get me. And you know what's funny? I was like, son of a gun, I've got that whole pasture out there and y'all just standing by the round bale. Well, poor guy couldn't go anywhere.
So obviously he doesn't get to go out with the round bale again unless you, and it's almost impossible to take the net off. So
no, he's not. He'll be going down the other pasture.
He's restricted.
He is grounded. That's why I only bought one to see how.
And it wasn't even his fault, which is the worst part.
He's like, I'm just trying to eat. This thing lassoed me and now I'm stuck forever. He's so good though. Just pick up his feet, cut it out. So now there's some holes. I retied it. Everything's good.
Well, Jennifer's going to get our next guest on. I wanted to talk about horselovers.com. I went over there. And if you're a Western rider, I know we have a lot of Western riders listen to the show. And by the way, if you didn't get to hear it, take a listen to yesterday's show with Stacy Westfall. Speaking of Western riders, it was a terrific show we had yesterday. She answered a lot of listener questions. We had callers and had some great guests. So if you didn't get a chance to take a listen to that, tune in to yesterday's show here on Horses in the Morning. But they have a Western liquidation going on right now. If you go to horselovers.com and click on Deal of the Day, they have over 2,000 products up to 90% off in all categories, including saddles, tacks, stable, grooming, horse equipment, bits and spurs, and much more. And don't forget that you get free shipping on any orders in the U.S. over $129 and $199 in Canada. So if you're not looking to buy $190 stuff in Canada, it's worth getting your friends in on it because it's expensive to ship to Canada. But I was looking at some of the spurs and bits and halters and pads they have. There's one group that has more different kinds of saddle pads and saddle blankets than English people. It's Western people. Oh my God, there's a lot of
really?
Oh, there's a ton of different kinds of saddle pads for Western people. And they have those at up to 60% off. I was seeing some in there at 30% off. All kinds of tack items as well. Breastplates and belt buckles and saddles. And, you know, they have Billy Cook saddles at 25% off. So definitely head on over there to horselovers.com right now if you're a Western rider. And the other thing I recommend is that you get their emails because they have deals in their emails that aren't even on the website. So definitely, do they send them out daily? It seems like I get them daily. But maybe I'm dreaming.
You know, yeah, they do. And I'm just looking through these Western products, wondering what they are.
They have a lot of different kinds of products that, unless you're Western, make no sense to.
What is a chest sweat? Why would you want to sweat their chest? I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason. Does it make them turn fat? I don't know. But there's like, and there's all sorts of straps and things that I'm just very confused. Straps and buckles. And
although I did see that they had the brass double-ended snaps for $1.59, which is really cheap right now. Those have gone up. We used to buy those for 50 cents in the old days. We were talking about that the other day. And you can never have enough double-ended snaps, that's for sure, around your farm. You're always short one.
There's a lot of shiny bits, too, which, I mean,
they have a lot
they're
of shiny,
shiny but then you put them in the horse's mouth, unless you clean them all the time, they're not going to be shiny. Wow, there's some really colorful. Oh, I want these reins. They're so pretty. They're like
they do
pink.
Have pretty stuff. I'm telling you, Western have more pretty stuff than English riders do. They definitely do. But head on over there right now, and you'll find it at horseloverswithaz.com. Well, coming up next, speaking of sponsors, we're going to introduce you to a brand new sponsor that's coming on to the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning. If you listen to my shows with Dr. Wendy in the driving episode, you're going to know the name Roger. He's from Greenflower Botanicals. And Roger's been on with us before talking about CBD oil. One of the most brought up topics I see on Facebook now is, do you use CBD oil? What is it? You know, who do you get it from? Who can you trust? And I see that posted a lot by our listeners. And
I see posted this. Okay, my horse has this. Use CBD oil. Well, right. My horse also has this. Use CBD oil.
That's right. That's right. So we got Roger on to answer some of those questions about what do you use CBD oil for and what makes a good CBD oil?
Let me back up that question. Hello, Roger, by the way. Thank you for joining us. What is CBW?
Hi, Jamie.
I am as new to this. I have a pilot husband who would never let any sort of marijuana type related product into the house. I want to know what it is and what do you do with it? And right. Is it safe? And is it, if I use this lotion, is he going to get drug tested? And, you know, I have all these questions.
You can never touch your husband again.
I can never touch him again.
Well, hey guys, I'm hoping that we have enough time here to answer all of your very, very good questions that certainly are shared by many. Yeah, they're shared by many people just like you. Okay, so let's as quickly as I know, pretty much everybody understands when you smoke marijuana, you get high, and that's caused by a cannabinoid, a thing called a cannabinoid called THC, and it's the most famous cannabinoid on the planet, and most everyone knows about it. What people don't know is that in the cannabis plant, which is also known as marijuana, but also known as hemp, which we'll talk about in just a few minutes, there's about 100 of these little cannabinoids in there. THC, for reasons we don't need to delve into, is the most famous one, of course, but and it's also one of the most dominant cannabinoid. But alongside of it, the second most dominant cannabinoid is one called CBD. And actually, when you first began hearing the terms medical marijuana, a lot of people would say to you that the cannabinoid responsible for most of the medicinal benefits of cannabis is CBD. Now, that's not exclusive because THC has a lot of medicinal benefits, but CBD is kind of carrying the weight of the medicinal benefits when it comes to cannabis. Well, a big shift occurred when we realized, you know, we can extract CBD from hemp. Hemp is also cannabis. It's cannabis sativa L. Just like marijuana, they're actually cousins. So we can extract this cannabinoid out of hemp, and because hemp is now legal federally, we're able to take the hemp plant, extract the CBD out of it, and then create a CBD oil or a CBD lotion. Now, by federal law, that has to be under 0.3% THC, and most of our products are 0% THC.
Which is the one that makes you high and happy.
The one that makes you high and very happy.
Or very sad.
But you know what? And hungry. Yeah, but listen, we've found that people are also quite happier when they're quite healthier. So we can approach it that way as well. So now, and I heard you earlier talking about, you know, my horse has this wrong with it. Oh, give him CBD. My horse has a runny nose. My horse has a sore whatever. Give him CBD. And when I first started hearing about it, as a lot of people, you're kind of skeptical because it sounds like, you know, snake oil, like CBD cures everything. But see, there's a reason for that. And it kind of ties into this thing called the endocannabinoid system, which was discovered in 1992, fairly new. They're just now teaching this in medical schools, so it's all pretty new science. And what they've found is that all mammals have this endocannabinoid system, which, like a lock and key, just receives these cannabinoids from marijuana and hemp, CBD, THC, and all of that. Most people don't know that your own body produces its own cannabinoids. And this is true of all mammals, certainly, and of course, horses, which is what we're here to talk about. So what happens is this system is pervasive throughout every organ in your body, your skin, everywhere. And it really kind of acts as a regulator, if you will, to many of your other systems. So it controls hunger, appetite, memory, inflammation, gastrointestinal, on and on and on and on. So if the endocannabinoid system has a deficiency, or it's imbalanced, then all kinds of things can happen and go wrong. So when we supplement that with CBD, then all of a sudden we bring the systems back into balance. And this is why CBD actually can touch and really help and assist in many different kinds of medical conditions.
So CBD oil, the extract, okay, is in a couple different forms, drops, and as you said, actually, Wendy uses the cream on her elbow. She's always had trouble with. She has tennis elbow real bad, and she likes to play tennis, and she literally has no pain after using it now. But so yours is, you say, 0% of the bad stuff, right? The stuff that makes you high. So, but there's always a little bit in there, right?
Well, it kind of depends on our products. Yes, so it would be measured at like 0.004%. So that's a trace amount that's not going to show up on a drug test or anything of that nature. But that's because it's a full spectrum product. Now, there are also products out there that are called CBD isolates, and that's where in the extraction process you isolate the CBD cannabinoid, and then in that instance there's absolutely no THC, not even a trace amount. Now, the reason we don't particularly gravitate to CBD isolate is because of a thing called the entourage effect, which is like this synergy that happens when you leave molecules bonded to what you normally find them bonded to in nature. So that's a lot of fatty acids, omega-3s, omega-6s, other trace cannabinoids. That's why we call it a full spectrum whole plant extract. So, but there's just no way to get every little bit of THC out of it. But we feel it's really a much better product, again, because there's medicinal benefits. You know, everybody knows about the medicinal benefits of omega-3s and omega-6s. So we like leaving all of that intact.
All right.
So to answer the question,
yeah.
Well, yeah, now, there's a little bit of a trace amount.
Okay. So now the other thing that comes up all the time, and by the way, I just drove up from Orlando this morning. It's about an hour and a half drive, and I must have seen 10 huge signs for people selling CBD oil. And the thing is, there's different qualities of CBD oil, right? And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you guys, and we're happy that you're coming on board, is Dr. Wendy's done a lot of research on this, and she only wanted a company that does it the best and isn't putting garbage out there, because there's a lot of garbage out there in this particular market.
There is. Yeah, there is. We've had reports from companies selling, and it's all expenses for the most part. You know, it's more than you're going to pay for some vitamin C. So the price point's kind of high because of the way the market works. But yeah, we've got people out, companies that have been, you know, they've done exposés on them selling stuff for $70, $80, $100, $200, and there's literally next to no CBD in it.
And it's not regulated,
and I know
right?
No, not regulated. We're getting there. State of Florida has done a lot of great stuff lately. We've just had to redesign our labels. So all of our products come with third-party lab reports where the product is tested for molds, pesticides, heavy metals, and of course tells you exactly the CBD content and the other trace cannabinoids that are in it. Tells you exactly how much THC is in it. So if it's 0.0004 or whatever, you know that on the lab report. And right on the back of our products is a QR code that you can just scan with your phone, and it takes you right to that lab report. Now, that's the state of Florida requires that, but we've always done that as a company. And I think that's one of the reasons why Dr. Wendy likes us. But I also think our approach with the full spectrum extracts is probably another reason for that.
Hey, Roger, are you on a speakerphone, by the way? Are you talking?
I'm not. I have a headset.
Sounds okay.
Yeah, it's breaking up real bad. Are you? Maybe we could come off the headset and talk right into the phone. We get a better connection.
Let's do that.
All right. And then
hold
Jamie,
on,
you can go
second.
Ahead. I just want to get a better connection here.
How's that?
That's better. All right, Jamie.
Okay, question for you is when I use the CBD oil, so my wrist hurts today. I use the CBD oil. Is that drug testable? Say I have to go to work. I have to do a drug test. Will I come up positive for marijuana or THC?
No, not from our products. I can't speak to the other things in my day.
Okay. So you're saying if I use your products, I will not come up with a positive drug test?
No.
Okay. Next question. What was my next question? I was so caught up in that one. The other thing is my wrist hurts and I put the CBD oil on and I feel better and then it goes away. And then am I going to become addicted to the CBD oil?
No, not to the oil itself. As a chemical, you may become addicted to having no pain. but no, there's no addictive qualities to it whatsoever.
Okay, well, there you go.
Here's another great. Yeah. Here's another thing that Dr. Winsey, I know, loves about greenflower. Is if you go to greenflowerbotanicals.com, you can go to the very bottom of the homepage, and then also there's a section called Learn CBD. That then has a subsection called CBD and specific conditions. And one of the reasons I know that she loves us, just like every other doctor and pharmacist that we work with, is we curate a total database of all of the studies that have been done involving CBD and how it pertains to specific conditions. So if you really, or maybe you're a CBD nerd, right? You really want to learn about this in depth, you can go to our website and we literally have every published study that's been done where you can really dive into the science. It's a little difficult to understand at times, but I know that's one of the things, again, that she appreciates about our company, because we put all of that information out there. And there's been all kinds of studies about, you know, side effects and overdosing and all that, and it just literally does not exist.
Well, I wanted to say, too, for new listeners, Dr. Wendy is, of course, comes on and does her driving episode once a month, and actually is part owner of the Horse Radio Network. She's a veterinarian in traditional Chinese medicine. She has her master's in traditional Chinese medicine, as well as her doctor and traditional veterinarian. And anything like this, that any company that comes to us with any kind of health product, it has to be approved by Dr. Wendy first. And we've had other CBD companies come to us, and you're the first one that she's actually said, okay, I'm giving the green light on this one. So
that means a lot.
You know, and she's very picky, you know, she's very particular, and she knows her stuff, and she knows her stuff on alternative medicines, because she has a master's in traditional Chinese medicine. So
if Wendy, Dr. Wendy trusts it, I will trust it for sure, because she is just that kind of lady.
Now, so you have horse, dog, and people stuff. The website, it's Greenflower Botanicals is where you can find it. And so in the horse department, how are they buying it? How should they buy it? And how should they try it?
What's it for
in
horses?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so real quick, in horses, it has anti-inflammatory properties. So it's great for soreness. It's great for muscle and joint and kinds of aches and pains. Tremendous results, and we have all kinds of reviews that you can read as well associated with the product. Probably one of the biggest reasons people are coming and buying it revolves around anxiety. So arena anxiety, and or they're finding that their horse just is not able to calm down and focus and learn, and the CBD just seems to be a game changer there. So people will buy it for pain. But it seems like most of our sales really revolve around the calming nature of it, and really calming the animal down, which allows the animal then to perform better in the arena, which also calms the rider down too. Hey, both the rider and the horse should take some. So,
Jamie has anxiety working with me 5 days a week, so maybe she should take. I'll send her some.
I just have anxiety. Period. You help it.
I'll just send.
Yeah,
her some.
It helps with Glenn induced anxiety.
And all the listeners need it too.
Well, Roger, that on the website, we'll update it.
Roger, we're going to be talking more about this. Dr. Wendy's going to do a little mini series with you on the various things that, and we're going to play that over the next coming months. Where can people go? Where can they read more about it? Where can they find your products?
Okay, so it's greenflowerbotanicals.com, And if you go to the navigation button that says buy CBD, you'll see a drop down and it will show our equine products. And there's more information there. And we're also running a special for HRN listeners. There's a 20% coupon available to your listeners if they just do HRN as a coupon code, and it'll give them 20% off their entire first order.
Oh, wow.
So it's a great way to try it and see if you like it.
I didn't even know
that. And let us know, please. You know, we love the reviews. One of the most thrilling things about Greenflower is when new reviews come in and someone, you know, horse or dog or certainly people, and they're just like, man, this has really been a game changer for us. And it's just always good to know you're doing something to help people regain, you know, some vitality and life. And certainly with our animals, you know, we have a golden retriever who with bad hip dysplasia, and it's just really, I just can't speak highly enough about it because it's been a life changer for her, which of course affects us.
Right. Exactly.
Because we love her.
All our animals' actions affect us. right. Yeah. It's HRN as a coupon code. I didn't know about that, so that's good to know. We'll post that as well on our Facebook page so everybody knows. But just use that. You get 20% off your first order. Thank you, Roger. We look forward to working with you.
Hey, thank you, guys. Enjoy the show. Keep up the good work.
All right. Thanks,
thank
Roger.
You. Thanks for answering my dumb questions.
Hey, it was a great question, Jamie. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
You know, I just ordered some of this for our dog, Glory, who's getting older and a little, you know, she's older. She's an old dog, right? And, you know, she's just, sometimes she doesn't move so good. And I ordered some to see how it works on Glory, because that's exactly what it's meant for.
You probably didn't get your 20% off either.
I didn't. I didn't know about that till just now. So thank you very much. I have to make sure I get a refund.
Greenflower Botanicals. Greenflowerbotanicals.com. Definitely, you know, worth a shot for 20% off.
That's
fantastic.
Right. Do you want to do a song or do you want to go right into your news?
Well, I mean, we could do whatever you want. Up to you.
So we're going to do some weird news, and we did a vote, didn't we? I didn't see the results, so tell us about the vote. What happened?
Well, you know, we use our auditors as our kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, Glenn? Focus group, quality control, things like that. So I went on and I asked, do you guys like the weird news segment that I do? And I had I put up a poll, and it said, yes, I love it, meh, or no, I hate it, or I've never heard it. So 93 people said they love it. 5 people said meh. And then several people said they hadn't heard it because they don't listen to Wednesday or whatever. And then nobody said they hated it. So until you start telling me you hate it, I'm going to keep doing it.
I was in the I'd never heard it category, and that threw a couple people off. But
you've heard it, you jackass. Let's start with Lincoln, Nebraska. Okay. We're going to go to Lincoln, Nebraska. And there is a bit of a hunt for this man. He went into the Pinnacle Bank branch in Lincoln. And according to the police report, walked up to the teller and said, I would like to open an account. I would like to open a new account, and here is my money. There, he handed the teller a $1 million bill. Sir, that's that. They don't make $1 million bills.
What do you mean? I have 10 of them in my wallet right now. What are you talking about?
A $1 million bill. I would like to open an account and put my $1 million in it. Sir, we don't.
I don't know if that many zeros would fit on a dollar bill.
That's not a thing. There's Santa Claus is the picture. You
I
know?
Think the highest one I knew about, they used to make $10,000 bills. I don't even know if they have those anymore.
The largest denomination note, because I knew you would ask, ever issued for public circulation, Glenn, was the $10,000 bill. You are correct.
I wonder who was on that, which president was on that, or who was on that bill.
Police, by the way, are reviewing surveillance video to try to identify the man because they don't want to arrest him. They want to check on his welfare
his
and make sure
sanity.
He's not the victim of a crime.
Somebody handed it to him in change.
Oh, my God.
He bought some donuts and got a $1 million bill in return.
Let's see. Do you want to head to South Point, Ohio or Rotterdam, New York?
Oh, let's go to New York. It's getting chilly up there this time of year.
Well, there was a couple.
I'm just glad it's not Florida.
There is a woman. She was driving. Yeah, I don't think I have any Florida ones today. But this woman was driving down the road and she hit a dog. Oh, she hit this dog and she's like, feels terrible, but like a jackass, doesn't stop. She just keeps driving. And her bumper is broken. I guess it was like dragging or something. So she pulled over and she's like, let's see what happens. The freaking dog is wedged in between her bumper and the grill, and it is alive and it is fine. And she has driven for 45 minutes with this dog in her car. The Schenectady Veterinary Clinic worker, because that's where she calls the police. She's like, there's a dog in my car that I hit and it's fine. It ended up having like a broken elbow or something, but she was hearing noises, so she decided to stop and check. She called 911 when she saw the dog gazing out from below her license plate, staring at her. The veterinary clinic worker said that Coco, 16-pound dog, fit perfect. Shiba Inu fit perfectly in the space behind the bumper and was lucky to be alive. I have a picture of that I will be posting on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page as soon as I finish this.
Poor
okay,
dog. He's probably terrified, or he had the ride of his life. One or the other,
or it was like the greatest day ever. All right. Now, wait, where did it go here? Let's go back to, South.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. Glenn, we're going to head to South Point, Ohio. South Point, Ohio. A woman was in a car accident. She was driving home. Her name is Sydney Wolf. She's a student at West Virginia's Marshall University, and she was driving home, and she hit a deer. And I guess her car was fairly damaged, and so she calls the police. So the police come, and they're like, oh, my God! Call 911! We need backup! We need ambulances! We need all sorts of stuff! It's Halloween. She was dressed as Carrie. She had been hit a deer.
Covered in blood.
She was covered in fake blood. She had a prom dress on. She had like the blood down her face, down her neck. She said the very first responder was a gentleman that pulled over being a good Samaritan. She said you could tell he was horrified. Next came the police officers who were like, oh man, and kept asking over and over again if I needed medical assistance. The second round of cops that came weren't in on the makeup and were like, are we just going to ignore the blood that's dripping off of her? She needs medical assistance. She said she was uninjured except for a slight bruise on her leg, but apparently her costume was truly terrifying.
Can I just say that's an old school costume at this point, Carrie?
She was in a haunted house event. I just love the cut. Are we just going to ignore the blood that's pouring out of this woman's face?
God, that was a disturbing movie. That really was.
I didn't ever see it. You know I'm not going to watch stuff like that.
I don't like horror movies either, but I did see that movie.
Final sound effect. We're going to get a little closer to Florida now, and we're going to head to Colleton County, South Carolina, where this little dog was wandering along a road in Cottageville, South Carolina, and a good Samaritan saw a little Yorkie on the side of the road. You don't see Yorkies on the side of the road. They scooped him up, and they drive him to a veterinary clinic in Walterboro, South Carolina. Luckily, the dog had a microchip, and they were able to track his owners down. He belongs to Tia and Greg Briggs. His name is Bandit. Turns out Bandit went missing 6 years ago from their home in Sheridan, Wyoming.
And where was it now?
South Carolina.
Did it catch a ride? Hitchhiking? What?
Can you imagine getting a phone call and be like, hi, I found your dog wandering on the side of the road.
Did it have a collar on?
No, it had no collar. It had the microchip. And so this is why you should microchip your dog. We found your dog is on the side of the road. They're like, we don't have a dog. We lost our dog 6 years ago apparently they came home and the gate was open. Bandit was 2 years old at the time. They called the owner. They're bawling. They're so excited. She was like, they're a little like, I mean, a Yorkie is like a lap dog, you know, it was like their little baby.
There's a lot of roads crossings between there and there.
So thanks to a volunteer, he got a ride to North Carolina where one of their cousins lives. And then they're going to stay with the cousin until they can come pick him up. It is unclear how Bandit ended up in South Carolina, but Clark said he was healthy, all things considered. He wasn't covered in fleas. It looks like he belonged to somebody. So in my terrible mind, I'm like, somebody stole that dog and then like sold him. And then those people lost him or the, I don't know. There's all sorts of
Maybe he
hasn't
having a running away from homes.
Well, hell, he ran a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty long track. They made movies about that.
Yeah, exactly. And you never find, it's usually cats that end up being found. I don't know why, but it's very seldom dogs. That's cool.
Homeward bound, this dog is like, I am getting out of here. I'm going home.
The food was better at the first house. I should have never left.
Should have never left. I mean, talk about a happy ending for a story. They lost their dog 6 years ago, and they find him on the complete opposite end of the country. That's
amazing. They
probably
have two or three dogs since then, so now they got another dog. You know, it's
like, now they're like, we don't need another dog. Great, Bandit. Thanks for coming home. Just kidding.
You know Bandit's going to get out again and be a total pain in the ass his entire life. You know that, right? He's going to be that dog. Well, I wanted to mention a couple of things. One is we're running out of time now. You have to think about your entries Radiothon because you only have 12 days left. To get your entries in, go to holidayradiothon.com and get your voicemail entries in for Radiothon. It's coming up. We have over $5,000 worth of prizes that you're going to want to take a look at. So definitely make those entries and start thinking about them, writing out your songs. You know, it doesn't even have to be clever. You can just tell us, you know, what was the most naughty thing your horse or your dog or whatever ever did. Now, Jamie submitted about 50 of them now, and they're all about Zeus for some reason. I don't know why. But we are giving away a ton of prizes, and we keep adding to the prizes every day. We're also getting new guests lined up every day, so the excitement is now building for Radiothon. And now that we're past Halloween, we're starting to get more and more entries, but we definitely need more of them, so send them in. And that's that or call in that day are basically the only two ways you can enter to win all of these prizes. Now, I will say that also, remember I brought up Monday that we were having trouble with some of the feeds, the podcast feeds. Well, the All Shows feed was the one that was giving us the most trouble. And there's actually under Horse Radio Network, if you search any podcast player, and it actually brings in every episode of every show we do. Now, you have to be glutton for punishment because there's like 10 to 20 a week. So that we tried to move that to the new hosting providers, and it's a very complicated one to move. I'm not going to go into why, but it's part of the reason my name's The Geek. Well, I wasn't that geeky enough because several of us screwed it up. So it was bringing in all kinds of weird stuff. So right now, we have reverted back to the old way, and it should be corrected for you now. There might be some shows in there that shouldn't be in there, but it should be good from this point forward is what I'm saying. So all of you people that are really, truly dedicated, super listeners to the Horse Radio Network Master Feed, or the All Shows Feed, should see that corrected. And the Horses in the Morning Feed got moved last week without incident, but you will see more of our back episode showing up. We have never been able to put more than 15 episodes of this show on the feed. So you only ever saw the most recent 15, which for us is, a half a month. So, it's not even a month's worth of episodes. Now you're going to see 100. So there'll be, if you're just coming in and you're finding us and you want to catch up on back episodes, you'd have to go to our website and use the players, and it was just complicated. Now you're going to see 100 past episodes on there, and it's just going to be a little bit easier for people to catch up on back episodes. So all of that's an improvement. It should be faster for you, and we basically moved almost all the shows over to the new servers now. So you should be seeing a little bit more responsive on that end too. So we're excited about those changes, and we apologize to the super fans who listen on the All Host feed, who were inundated with a bunch of stuff. Sorry about that. Hopefully that is fixed. And now it is time for our once a month segment from Stanford, from blackrains.com. Black Rains Magazine has been coming on every month with some exciting guests. Good morning, Stanford.
Good morning, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us again. We appreciate it.
All right. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course, Black Rains Magazine can be found at blackrains.com. That's where you can find that. And
Stanford, the important question is, are you currently sitting in Atlanta traffic?
No, I'm not. You would be excited, Jen. I'm sitting in the middle of a 100-acre pasture with about 25 horses standing around me. I wish you could see this picture. I'm doing a podcast and a photo shoot at the same time.
Oh, nice.
That's great. That beats where you were last time in traffic. So that's
Yeah, definitely. It's a better place.
And he has better cell phone service than I have in my own home.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that right? I wasn't sure of that, but thank you for reminding me.
Are you in the pasture full of quarter horses, thoroughbreds, a mixture, what?
Actually, it's a big pasture, and we board out here. So there's hunter jumpers, there's some cutting horses, there's some young ladies that did a photo shoot out here a couple of days. They own some barrel horses. I have just pleasure horses that I own personally. But yeah, we got a plethora of horses all over, all sizes. We got a couple ponies all the way up. I think the biggest one out here is a hunter jumper. She's a warm blood. She's 17.3. I think she's the biggest one out here.
Wow. Well, if we hear a thump and the phone goes flying, we'll know that things didn't go well in the pasture.
No, they'll go just fine. They're having a kick out of this. I think they think I'm going to feed them snacks. So.
All right. Well, you always bring us the most interesting guests, so why don't you introduce your guest?
Well, I'm so excited today, and I know you, Glenn and Jen and Jen, Jamie and Jen will have fun with the person that I'm bringing to you today. She's such a great spirit and personality. I met her a few months ago. She reached out to us as Black Rains Magazine, and she was introducing someone very unique to us and special to us, and that's a legendary jockey, Jimmy Wingfield. And the person I'm bringing to you today is Dr. Amy Casey. She's actually with the Louisiana Racing Association. She's a track vet down at Delta Downs. And I'm so excited to bring her to this call because I know you guys are going to have so much fun with her, asking her questions about her unique past. And some of that is just how unique it is. Her parents figured out she had a love and gifts of music. So she spent the first 20 years of her career as a classical violinist and a teacher of the art, and played and traveled with the symphony. And when that went under, I think it alerted her to go back to her first love, and that's horses. And she actually went and started working in the veterinary service and went back to finish taking the courses that she missed in the first half of her college career, and went and became a doctor and a vet. And she has an awesome career to tell you about. It's made for movies. I'm looking so forward to turning this call over to you guys so we can plug her and try to pull some of that good knowledge and research out of her, of her storybook past. So I want to introduce you guys to a good friend of mine now, and that's Dr. Amy Casey. Dr. Casey, are you on the phone?
Yes, sir, I'm here, and thank you so much for such a flattering introduction. I'm just bowled over by all the flattery and everything, the compliments. Well, I hope I can live up to this.
Well, you can. You've already have, and you've proven that as a friend, and you bring so much knowledge to Black Rains Magazine. It was so great to have you always chiming in on good points and ideas, and we're so honored to have you. And I'm so honored to introduce you to the co-host. Jamie and Glenn are taking over. Here's Dr. Amy Casey.
Hi, Dr. Casey. Thanks so much for joining us. Now,
it's my pleasure. My pleasure. Completely.
Well, let's start. What he didn't say was that you are the granddaughter, right, of Jimmy Wingfield?
Yes, sir, I am.
And
he is my mother's father.
And he actually won the Kentucky Derby in 1901 and 1902, and is in the National Museum of Racing and a Hall of Fame jockey, right?
Correct. He won on His Eminence in 1901, and he won on Alanna Dale in 1902. He placed in 1903, and then there was no African-American jockey to win the Derby since. But the next one to ride was Marlon St. Julien, and I believe he rode in, maybe it was 1995 or 96, I'm not sure. But they put him in the Hall of Fame in Saratoga in 2004.
Did any of the the word of mouth stories come down from your parents about him?
My grandfather was very unique because it was his thought that women should not be on the racetrack. And he'd probably be rolling over in his grave if he knew I'd been on the racetrack for this long since I finished vet school. Actually, when World War II broke out, and Hitler occupied Paris, and that's where my grandfather was living at the time, he sent my mother by herself in a boat across the ocean to his family, originally from outside of Lexington area, who was living in Cincinnati, and he protected my mother from all the war that was going on there in Paris at that time. So he shielded a lot from that part of his career. However, the glamour we were always exposed to, he had taken pictures with Bing Crosby because he trained horses for him. He trained horses for an artist by the name of Polyakov, and he was Russian, and he has this lucrative past. When he did leave the United States and started riding horses in the Balkans and for Russia, the aristocracy there, he actually won the Moscow Derby, and at one point in time, he made over $300,000 in that day and age. And then the Bolshevik Revolution broke out, and he left St. Petersburg with 300 horses and settled outside of Paris. So that's kind of a roundabout way of telling you his kind of his story.
Talk about a movie.
Where we all fit in there.
That's what I said.
They've tried to do that twice, but no one has really succeeded. There have been two major books on his life, and they also spun off of America's Black Jockeys that came out in, I think that came out in 2000 or 1998 by Ed Holtailing. But it's pretty interesting and very heroic story.
Yeah, geez.
From the get-go.
Did you know him very well, or was he traveling and working so much that you didn't get to spend a lot of time with him and he was just stories?
Well, when he stopped riding and he began training, and my uncle, my mother's brother, Robert, he became a jockey, and then he wasn't very good, so he became a trainer and learned everything from my grandfather. During the off season and in Paris and Maison Lafitte, when they ran, he would come to the United States and stay with us. So that was his time to be with our family. Mm-hmm. And most of the time it was winter time. So winters he spent with us. And if he had any medical things going on, my father was a physician. And so he referred things, for his health issues, and got his cataracts taken care of one time, I think I remember, and he had very bad arthritis. If you see any pictures, his hands were enormous for his size, and his knees were very arthritic and whatnot, but...
I can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You're so right about his hands. I'm looking at a picture of him. His hands are huge. It's like...
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
They are very, very long fingers. Very long fingers.
Bless his heart.
Oh, incredibly gifted.
So he passed away in the 70s, I believe. And do you have any memorabilia from his career?
Personally, I have. When I was nine, that was the first time I went there. And we went in the summertime. It was my mother and my two older sisters and I. And I have a silk, a riding silk and a hat. And they're both red and kind of a dark orange. But that's pretty much all I personally have. Now, that since his death, they've made all kinds of quilts and blankets and monuments, well, not huge monuments, but plaques and things like that that are still within the family. And my mother has most of those at her house.
Let's think about this. He rode in the early days of the Kentucky Derby in the early 1900s. He ends up going to Moscow, of all the place, right before the Russian Revolution. He escapes there with 300 mm-hmm. horses, ends up in Paris when Hitler invades. This is a guy who saw right. most of the monumental things that happened in the first 50 years of the 1900s.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those exactly. stories that you're like, how did we not learn about him in school?
Right.
You know, I mean, what an incredible story. I would imagine this would be a hard movie to make because he's been everywhere and done everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Is there a lot
of... the thing is...
Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, is there a lot written down about... Did he write down his stories? Is there a lot of writing about his time in Russia and Paris and World War II, or is it all just word of mouth at this point?
It's Ed Holtaling wrote a book, An Epic Journey, Wink, about him. And that he went over to Russia, and he also went through Spain, Poland, and France. You get a full envelope of all the historical data, and he put it together. And then Joe Drape got the idea. He and now Joe has written for the New York Times before mm-hmm. in the sports part, and he wrote another book called The Black Maestro. So his information has been documented and put together in a biographical kind of setting. I think the Black Maestro was a little more inflamed with a lot more colorful things, but it all has been documented. You know, how many times he's ridden and where he's run and what he's done with his life, the people that he's met, and so forth.
Well, I before we wrap, I want to ask you a little bit about you. You were a violinist and taught and had a bachelor and master's degree in violin and did that for 20 years.
Correct.
Were you, the whole time you were playing the violin, thinking, I need to get back to horses? Or was it something that just happened and then you did it?
You know, it probably is a little bit of both. I was put in a set of circumstances where the orchestra, I was playing in the Sacramento Symphony at the time, and that bellied up, and my marriage bellied up, and I had three children. So I had to find a job to supplement my income so that I could take care of my children. And the only place that would hire me, because I'm technically overqualified with a bachelor's and a master's, and I couldn't get in any place else.
Mm.
So there was a veterinary clinic that hired me, and I began to work with them. And they said, I will give you 3 days of training, and then if you mess up, you've got to go.
And sound I said, familiar,
okay,
Jamie?
give me a chance. Just give me a shot. And in 30 days' time, I had the best office management skills and taking care of this and that and the other. Of the other hospitals as well. So
you
I
know,
was really happy with
most
those
women,
circumstances for
most
me.
Women that are like, I just lost my job. I just got divorced and I have three children to feed. Let's go to vet school. Like, that's not a typical response.
You got some of Jimmy's fortitude is what you got.
Right? You're your grandfather's granddaughter.
Well, now that was when I went back and I started working at the vet clinic in 1989. It took me maybe 2 years, and I got to the point that said, well, heck, I can do this. The vet's getting all the money, and I'm doing a lot of work. I can do this. And then my father, he's been very instrumental in encouraging me, and he said, well, why don't you go to vet school? And I said, because I'm too old. He said, well, then 4 years, you're still going to be old. So then what are you going to have to show for it?
I like that. I'm going to use that.
I said, okay.
You know, somebody said to me once that don't not chase your dreams because they take too long, because time is going to pass anyway. You might as well be working towards your dream while that time is passing. And you're a perfect example of that. And I think what you did is amazing. And I'm so excited to be able to meet you and to hear some stories about your grandfather. I cannot wait to get the book. What an awesome, awesome story. And steal some of those things from your mama and get some more swag at your house from your granddaddy. I want to see pictures.
I certainly will.
Well, Dr. I told you guys that you would love this guest.
Oh my
gosh, she's
right.
Great, Stanford.
Right.
You're right. Well, Dr. Amy Casey, thank you so much for joining us. What was the name of the first book that the guy spent so much time on again? And we'll post a link to that as well.
It's called Wink, An Epic Journey.
Wink, An Epic
by
Journey.
Ed Holtailing, Hotaling.
Okay, Wink, An Epic Journey. Very good. Well, we appreciate that. Stanford, as always, we appreciate you coming on once a month with these terrific guests. It's blackreins.com. It's a magazine. Head on over there. They have a lot of articles and things over there as well. You're going to want to check it out. We appreciate both of you stopping by. And Dr. Amy, get back to the horses now. You got work to do. All right.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. It's been a joy and a pleasure for me.
Thank you
it
both.
It has been. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Stanford.
Thanks, have an awesome
guys.
Day.
Thank you.
Wink, The Incredible Life and Epic Journey of Jimmy Wingfield. Oh my gosh, could that not be the most interesting book? It's $14.95 on Amazon.
You know, I'm still stuck, and I know I'm still stuck on this, but the first 50 years of the 1900s, this man saw everything, cars, electricity. I mean, he went through some of the most revolutionary revolutions, literally, world wars. I mean, it's he saw First World War and Second World War. And he lived in Europe during that time. And he was a black man, which didn't make it any easier. Just an incredible story. Yeah, an incredible story and really cool. I'm glad Stanford brings these interesting people to us. Very cool. Well, let's call it a day. I don't know how we can beat that anyway. So
I got to go ride before it starts raining. Apparently, the weather for the next like 5 days is going to be horrible, and then winter hits. So good times.
Oh, yeah, that's fun. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with the driving episode. Dr. Wendy will be here. We have a fun episode planned for you tomorrow, so join us then. And then Really Bad Ads on Friday, and we're going to pick a winner of the box of crap. So get your ads in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. And any ads submitted before Friday will be counted. All those entries will count when we do the drawing. Thanks, everybody.
Bay Neuter Geld. Bye.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, you better say that.
I know.
Dog house.